in a fun series called Reaching Your Potential. We're talking about, over the next 30 days, you know, how each of us can really go to that next gear that we all have, that next level, that next place that God has for us in our spiritual output, our emotional output, our intellectual output, our financial output, our physical output. You have not yet arrived. There's more land that God wants for you to possess. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think according to his power that is at work within you. We want these scriptures and these promises to come alive in our hearts over the next 30 days as we challenge you to reach your potential. Last weekend, we talked about take control of your dreams. Dream that dream that God has for you and know that yeah, God ultimately is in control, but he's also giving you control. And how do we exercise that control? And today, we're going to challenge you to think big. To think big. You know, if you think big, you'll live big. If you think small, you'll live small. What you think about, you bring about. And look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, a famous verse on thinking. Let's read it out loud together. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Let's pray. God, I pray that in this message today, I am not telling people how to think or what to think, but I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit and the truth that will be presented from your word that you will challenge us in our thinking, God. And I thank you that we can think your thoughts, for they are higher than ours. We can know your ways that are higher than ours. And I pray that all distractions would be brought and be minimized, that we would be attentive to your word today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. What you think about, you bring about. Think big. Think big, live big. Think small, live small. For as a man thinks in his heart, as a woman thinks in her heart, so is he, so is she. I heard about a lady that went to see a psychiatrist, and she said, doctor, you got to help me. He said, well, what's the problem? She said, it's my husband. She said, well, what's wrong with your husband? And she said, my husband thinks he's a racehorse. And he said, well, what gives you that idea? She said, well, he walks around on all fours, he lives in the stable, and he eats hay. And the psychiatrist said, I can help you, but it's going to be very expensive. She said, money's not a problem. He's already won two races. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think about, you bring about. Zig Ziglar used to famously say, you need a checkup from the neck up, get rid of that stinking thinking. Because if you'll change your mind and change your thoughts, you can change your life. You are as big as you think. Henry Ford Sr. once quibbed, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason why so few engage in it. There's some truth to that. I think thinking has never been harder than it is today. With so many distractions, so many things stimulating us, 24/7 news, 24/7 entertainment. I mean, it seems like people are constantly on their smartphones. It's like, technology is getting smarter and humans are getting dumber. Something's wrong with that. James Allen said, you are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. What's the predominant theme that you dwell upon, that you meditate upon in your life? Sometimes our thinking needs to be challenged with God's thoughts, with God's thinking. Here's our thinking, it's impossible. But here's God's thinking, all things are possible. Here's our thinking, I'm too tired. Here's God's thinking, I will give you rest. Here's our thinking, nobody really loves me. Oh yeah? God says, I love you. Nobody really cares for me. I care for you. I can't go on. My grace is sufficient for you. I can't figure things out. I will direct your steps. I can't do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I'm not worth it. It will be worth it in the end. I can't forgive myself. I forgive you. I can't afford it. But God says, I will supply all of your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. I know many of you can attest to this. My life changed. Carl Todi's life changed when my thinking changed. And my thinking changed when I opened up the sacred book, when I opened up the Holy Scriptures and I began to read the Bible. It became the game changer in my life. When my thoughts changed, my life changed. There was a time in my life I absolutely, positively never saw myself doing what I'm doing right now. I never thought it would be possible to stand before an audience and be a public speaker, which I'm not. I am not a trained professional public speaker. I'm a pastor. There's a big difference. I mean, get me before an audience, a strange audience, give me a topic that I'm not passionate about, I will fall flat on my face. But put God's word in my heart and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and put me before a group of individuals that want to hear the truth of God's word and I turn into another man, I'll tell you. It's a gift, right? And it's something that I never imagined, never thought, it never entered my mind, never entered my heart that I could do this. I mean, I'm the kid. This is a true story. I'm the kid in kindergarten. I was kicked out of Catholic school because the nuns told my mom, we think he's demon-possessed. That's a bad way to start out in life. And my mom's thought was, how long did it take you to figure that out? I gave her trouble, right? I was a kid in first, second, and third grade. I had a speech impediment. I had to go to a speech pathologist. They didn't have, you know, the advanced stuff, like, you know, advanced knowledge and advanced people that they have, like, today. I mean, I had some struggles growing up. I'm just saying, I'm glad that, medication wasn't as readily available like it is today, because I would have been on all of them. I'm glad they just, you know, I know sometimes kids just need to grow out of stages. I mean, no, we simply need just to be patient, loving, understanding. Make sure that they get to bed on time, quit watching crazy movies, crazy music, playing video games, you know, all night. Stop eating so much sugar. You know, a little sugar is good for everybody, you know. We just change some things up, and it's a wonder what could happen in the life of a young person, right? So, hey, you know, there's hope for you. I mean, if I could turn out the way I turned out, you know, parents never despair what your kids may be going through. So there's always hope. But my thinking changed. My life changed when my thinking changed. And my thinking changed when I began to read God's word. And I remember when God first put the thought in my heart and in my mind that I would one day pastor a church like this. That I would be doing what I'm doing now. This is 30 years ago. 28 years, 29, 27, 25 years ago, these thoughts begin to come in my mind. I'm like, I could have said, oh, no, not me. Not me. Not Carl Todi. I graduated from Manzano High School. Bottom of my class. Not me. I was born in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Oh, not me. When God put this thought in my heart and in my mind, I said, oh, you got the wrong guy, God. You know, have you got some addresses confused here? I lived in Gallup, New Mexico for a few years. How can anything good come out of Gallup, New Mexico? I'm just saying. From Gallup, hey, more power to you, me. It would have been real easy for me to say, oh, no, not me, not me, not me, not me. My grandfather, you know, owned a bar. My dad owned a bar. I'm going to one day, that's my lot in life. I'm going to one day grow up and own a bar. That's just on my dad's side, you know. Oh, no, not me. But your life changes when your thinking changes. And your thinking changes when you open up the Holy Scriptures and you personalize God's word. Not something that was simply written 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, but all Scripture is divinely inspired by God. It is God-breathed. And it's God's word. It's not just for a people that lived thousands of years ago. It's for you, and it's for me, and it's for us today. My life changed when my thinking changed, and my thinking changed when I opened up God's Holy Scriptures and I began to read God's Word and believe it as the Word of God. And I remember reading Romans 1, and I remember reading it, thinking about this is how I was. This is what I was like just a few months ago before God saved me. Look at Romans 1:21. Paul says this: yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. That was me. And they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. That was me and you. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Say that with me. Dark and confused. Say it again. Dark and confused. Now go on just a few more verses in Romans 1. Look at verse 28. Paul goes on. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. Say that with me. Debased mind. Say it again. Debased mind. To do those things which are not fitting. And then Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he has more to say about this stinking thinking. Look at verse 17 of Ephesians 4. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Say that with me. Hopelessly confused. Everybody in the world right now, without Jesus. The description of their life and the description of what my life was like before Jesus rescued me and you, we were hopelessly confused. It goes on. Look at verse 18. Their minds are full of darkness. Say that with me. Full of darkness. Say it again. Full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. That describes America. Are you with me? So listen, this is the perfect description of the world's mindset outside of Christ, morally and spiritually speaking. The world's thinking is foolish, dark, debased, and hopelessly confused. And you're going to them for help? They're the ones that need help. Are you with me? I mean, if those we're trying to get help from are foolish, dark, debased, and hopeless and confused in their thinking, no wonder we're in the mess we're in. Hello. What we need is God's wisdom. What we need is God's thoughts. I recently read a book. I love reading. I have a ferocious appetite. How many know you never stop learning? Come on, you never stop learning. Raise your hand. I don't care if you've got your degree. I don't care if you finished school. You never stop learning. You know, all leaders are readers, right? Not all readers necessarily are leaders, but all leaders are readers. You want to be a leader, you want to have influence, you've got to be well-versed, well-read. And it starts with God's Word. Sometimes we can kind of get into a thinking rut, a rut of thought. Sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone and be challenged. So I love reading secular books on business and leadership, and I find so many spiritual truths, because all truth ultimately leads back to God, right? So I love reading so much because, you know, all throughout high school, I only read one book. You're like, wow, you're giving us way too much information. I think I'm going to find another church, right? Then I got saved, and the second book I read all the way through was the Bible. I mean, I was on a good track then, right? The second book I read was the Bible. But since then, I haven't stopped. I've read hundreds and hundreds of books. So I'm reading this business book called Entrepreneurial Revolution, How to Develop Your Entrepreneurial Mindset, and Start a Business That Works by Daniel Priestley. And this author, what I liked about this, the chapters, as I was going through these chapters, he talked about three different ways of thinking, three different mindsets. He said there's the reptilian form of thinking. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be cool. So I kept reading. The reptilian form of thinking. Now, the reptile part of our brain, as it's, you know, there are three main parts of our brain, the way God created it. The medical profession, they call it the reptilian part of our brain because that's the instinctual part of our brain that basically, you know, how many know that you don't have to think to make sure your heart's beating? Like, heart, keep beating. Man, I haven't thought about you for all day, but are you still working? You know, the part of our brain that kind of keeps everything working, that's the instinctual part of our brain, it serves its purpose because you don't have to think about breathing. I forgot to breathe all day today. No, it's all working, the blood's flowing, you know. But this part of our brain, it's the survival part of our brain. In other words, when we find ourselves in a crisis, in an emergency, we don't have time to think, analyze, process, boom, we just react. That's the reptilian part. And the reptilian part of our thinking, if we simply stay there, it's all about survival. It's all about me, myself, and I, a person that's confined to a reptilian mindset. They have no empathy. They have no compassion. And what society knows is this. If people revert to reptilian thinking, When they feel like they've lost their sense of security, of safety, protection, food, and shelter, kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, they will revert to savage acts, rioting and looting. But then there's another form of thinking. It's called the monkey mindset, okay? And the monkey mindset really isn't that much better. Living out of the monkey mindset kind of allows you to have friends. You're able to perform relative tasks, you know, repetitive tasks. You can do those things with no real meaning or value. The monkey mindset is kind of, as the Bible describes, to be carnally minded. The monkey mindset loves to experience peak emotions like anger, sadness, happiness, surprise, and excitement. The monkey mindset has a scarcity mentality. The only resources accessible are the resources that have been told are accessible. If a monkey is told all you can do is this, that, or the other, the monkey believes it's all that they can do. If the monkey's told you can only make $45,000 a year, the monkey mindset accepts that that's all they could make the rest of their life. And so when we look at the world, we think, wow, there's a lot of examples of reptilian thinking and monkey business going on in our society today. And here's what the powers that be have understood. Those that are in control and have been in control of the masses for thousands of years, they've understood something. If you can keep people in their monkey mindset, you will prevent them from regressing to a reptilian mindset where they will begin to riot and loot and disrupt. So, make sure you make everybody feel safe and secure, and that their needs will be provided for, and we will take care of you, and you will be just okay, because we're going to take care of you. And you're like a monkey. A monkey's happy if you throw him a banana every now and then. Just give a monkey a banana, he's happy. Give a monkey a few trinkets and toys to play with, he's totally content. And sad to say, so many people living in our world today, they're content with a few bananas thrown their way. They're content with a few trinkets and a few toys. You see, the powers that be, they understand that if you can control the masses and control what they think and how they think, you can control them. You know what Rome did? Rome, before it fell, the people stopped thinking for themselves. They allowed the powers that be to think for them. How to think and what to think and actually when to think. And the people of Rome were given the gladiator games. They were given all types of sensual pleasures that they could enjoy. Why? Keep them sedated. Keep them distracted. Keep them happy with their few bananas a day and their new toys and trinkets while we take control over everything. Now, you know, I've lived quite a long life now, 51. I remember a time growing up as a kid when smoking was cool. Joe Cool was really cool. Look it up. They've banned him. You can't find it anywhere. But I remember going to the movies, commercials. The cool people smoked. Now, I'm not advocating smoking. It's bad for you. I thought all cool people smoked, so I stole my Aunt Linda's cigarettes one day. Went in the bathroom, because she was old, didn't know what I was doing anyway, and I tried smoking her cigarettes. I barfed. I got sick. It was disgusting. I never wanted to smoke again. So I'm not advocating that, but listen, I remember watching movies and all the cool people smoke, and then all of a sudden something happened in society. They got mad at smoking, and they got mad at smokers, and they began to outlaw it, and they began to ban it, and they began to, you know, sue those evil tobacco companies, and they were going to battle over smoking. I'm like, okay, well, I guess smoking's bad, whatever, okay. Now, all of a sudden, I'm 51 now. Everyone's like promoting marijuana, yeah. Legalizing marijuana. It's like, we need more marijuana. And now you got companies springing up. You got companies, it's in Coca-Cola, you know, it's in candy, it's in cookies, it's in cupcakes, it's in this. And it started out medicinal purposes, man. Just, you know, makes me feel good. No painkillers don't work no more, you know, whatever, you know. Okay. But now it's gone to recreational, right? And now states are clamoring because they want more money, more revenue, and more control. They found a new banana to throw the monkeys. Yeah. They want you sedated. They want you overstimulated. They want you drinking. and abusing alcohol. I'm not saying alcohol is a sin. Now, I'm not making something to be sin that's not sin. And I'm not saying certain things are sin, but certain things can become sin. How many know a good thing can become a bad thing? The Bible says, you know, drink a little wine for your stomach's ailments. So there is medicinal alcohol purposes, I guess, in the Bible. I'm not advocating it, but nowhere, I was debating somebody the other day about marijuana, because I know preachers are now saying, hey, man, drink, smoke dope, just follow Jesus, it doesn't matter. They got churches starting in Colorado called Church 420. And I asked Pastor Doug, what's 420 stand for? He goes, 420 is the best time to smoke dope. Is that right? So they have churches now for communion. It ain't just wine they're giving out, maybe some beer and a doobie on the side. I'm not making that up. Hey, you want people to give more? Might be a good idea. I don't know. We're going to spike the communion wafers. No, I am really bad. I am totally joking. Don't take everything I say seriously, please, especially you newcomers. Right? And I'm thinking, what's this big push? This big push? Why? Here's why. Eat, drink, be merry. You know, we want you to have your free porn. We want you to have all the alcohol you want. We want you now to start smoking dope. Plus, we want you to take your medication. We want you completely sedated while Satan comes in this satanic conspiracy and takes control over the whole world. It's time for the monkeys to rise up. I saw a movie like that recently. So then this author talked about a third type of mindset, being an empire builder. That caught my attention. A what? An empire builder. I said, you know, each of these mindsets, the reptilian mindset can apply to, theologically, the unregenerated mind, the reprobate mind, the debased mind. The monkey mindset can apply to the carnally minded person, which the Bible has a lot to say about being carnally minded. We'll look at a verse here in just a moment. And then he talked about an empire builder, and I thought, hey, that's being a kingdom-minded person. That's thinking like a king. That's thinking like God would want us to thought. That's thinking God's thoughts. An empire builder or a kingdom-minded person is a person that's creative, a person that adds value and creates value, a person that's able to generate wealth for others, a person that has a mentality that I might be stuck, but I'm not stopped. I might be facing an obstacle, but I can overcome it. A person that has a kingdom-minded form of thinking and a kingdom mentality person is a creator. They're an empire builder. They're a kingdom builder. They're a problem solver. Why? Because they have God's thoughts, because they have God's wisdom, because they have God's knowledge, and because they have God's resources. And here's what Isaiah said about God's thoughts a long time ago. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Yeah. You know, so when the world says, smoke more marijuana, it'll make you feel good. You're like, I'm done with this monkey mentality. I'm done with this monkey thinking. Did you know that in the states that have approved marijuana, you know that people that are on welfare, they can't use EBT cards to buy alcohol, but now they can go to marijuana dispensaries and they can purchase marijuana with them. You're smarter than that. I have confidence in America. America, you're smarter than that. Did you know that pot is 5 to 8 times the carcinogenic poison that a cigarette is? It has 5 to 8 times more lethal damage to your well-being, to your health, than a cigarette does. And yet, they've banned smoking cigarettes everywhere, but they're legalizing smoking pot almost everywhere. Hello, am I the only one that didn't, you know, fall off the turnip truck last night? Right? Am I the only one that's trying to put two and two together here thinking, what's going on here? Yeah? Yeah? Did you know that they did a recent report that kids that smoke pot, start smoking pot before the age of 17, are 8 times more likely to commit suicide? You won't hear this on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, or all the other mainstream media outlets. They don't want you to hear this. They want you to think the way they want you to think. They frame the issues and they frame the arguments in such a way to get you to think the way they want you to think, like a monkey. when God says, no, think my thoughts. Well, can we? Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? Now read this last part out loud with me. But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Say that again. For we have the mind of Christ. Personalize it. Say this. I have the mind of Christ. Come on. Can we thank God for that? Look to your neighbor and say, you have the mind of Christ. I knew you looked smart for a reason. Now I know. To have the thoughts of God. Change your thinking. Change your life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think about, you bring about. Think big, live big. Think small, live small. Allow God's thoughts to grab a hold of your life. And if you want your life to change, change your thinking. If you want to change your thinking, then open up the sacred scriptures and personalize God's word as a message to you and your life. Think big, live big. Now, if you want to look for an animal to maybe gauge your thinking after, don't follow the lizard. They're dumb. Or the monkey. I mean, they're cool. I like monkeys. You know, I like monkeys like the next guy. But if you really want to compare your thoughts to an animal, and you want to be a kingdom-minded person and an empire builder, then think like the king of the jungle. Think like a lion. I dug up this picture. I thought I'd show you here today. You see? That's creativity. That's finding a way when there seems to be no way. That's not simply taking life lying down. No pun intended. Now listen, I remember when I was a little kid, my mom read me that book, you know, The Little Red Engine, Who Thought He Could? And you know it, right? I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And then you get to a place in life where you're just like, I can. I can. I can. Then you go to another place, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through this rough spot in my life. I can get through this addiction. I can get through this time of grieving. I can get through this brokenness. I can get through this financial bankruptcy. I can get through this moral failure. I can get through this setback because God is for me. And if God is for me, who could be against me? And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do this with Christ's help. If you're going to be a kingdom-minded person, an empire builder, you've got to believe three things. Number one, you must be fully persuaded, my friend, fully persuaded that God is your source and your ultimate provider. King David said, I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. David, the psalmist, said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. I shall want for nothing. And then the grand master of them all, Jesus himself, look at what he said about this. Matthew 6:25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you'll have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? No, they can't, Lord. And why are you worrying about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? I don't know, Lord. I don't know why sometimes. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Oh, yes, he does. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Yeah, but militant Islam. I know. We're not going to put our head in the sand like the ostrich, and we're not going to be like the three monkeys, hear no evil, see no evil, do no evil. But we're not going to worry about it. We're not going to be fearful about it. So don't worry about tomorrow. Growing hatred, racism, violence in our land, the threat of World War III with what Russia's doing in Ukraine right now. Yeah, but don't worry about it. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Trust your loving Heavenly Father. He hasn't brought you this far to let you fail now. Amen. Number two, you're going to have to, all of us together, let's make a pact. We're going to have to practice self-restraint. We are way, way too overstimulated in our society today, right? Constant peak experiences is what people are, adrenaline junkies, constantly looking for the next high, for the next experience. And it creates emotional highs, but it also creates emotional lows. And before you know it, we become chemically and emotionally dependent on outside stimulus. Please don't get me wrong. If you're at a rough spot in your life and you've gone to see a good, godly physician and they have assigned you medication to get through this rough spot, there's absolutely nothing shameful about that. Man, if you've got some virus, or actually not a virus, antibiotics don't have a viable virus, but if you got some sickness and the doctor prescribes medication, like, you take it in faith, ultimately you know God's your healer. Hey, there is no condemnation. But there's a point where we cross this barrier where we begin to depend on outside stimulus instead of learning how to cope and how to trust God and to allow His strength to help us work through situations. We can get to a place where our enjoyments in life, and God has given us plenty of things to enjoy. He has freely given us all things to enjoy, Scripture says. And it's not a matter of, well, is it sin? Is it not sin? It's a matter of, is it good for you? Is it not good for you? You see, because our enjoyments can become our enslavements, and a good thing can become a bad thing, which makes sometimes things that aren't sin a sin in someone's life. So we've got to practice self-restraint. Philippians 4:5 says, let your moderation be known to all men. Your moderation, balance, equilibrium. Not too much this way, not too much that way. Why? The Lord's at hand. And finally, number three, commit to renew your mind daily with the Word of God. To renew your mind. You know, God can heal a mind that's been damaged. God can heal emotions that's been damaged. God can heal a physical body that's suffering from sickness and disease. God's word is like medicine. There's a healing component to the Scriptures. It's absolutely amazing what God's word will do for an individual because it's a living, breathing book. It's quick, it's powerful, God's word is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12 says. Jesus said, Lord, sanctify them by thy word. Cleanse them by thy word. Thy word is truth. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The thing the devil fears the most is when a believer gets a hold of the word of God and begins to treat it as though it's the word of God and begins to build their life on it and begins to meditate on it. I read it this morning in my daily devotional reading through the Bible in a year, right? I'm in Joshua chapter 1. Meditate on the word day and night. Don't let it depart from you. And I'll make your way prosperous. And I'll make you a success if you'll meditate on the word day and night. And not let it depart from your mouth, depart from your lips. The power of God's word to renew our mind consistently and daily. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:26, he talks about the washing of the water by the word. There's a cleansing agent to the Word of God. It's like the washing of the water We got this new washer at our house. It's this upright one, you know. It has like a window now. The old one, you know, had like a lid and it didn't have a glass. I couldn't watch things getting clean. And so sometimes I was helping Gloria the other day. So I threw some clothes in there. I did it when she was away because I'm like, don't put that with that and don't. And I'm like, just, shh, she ain't here. I'm throwing all in there. Then I draw it real quick and it's hanging. Oh, thank you. Like, yeah. Anyway, the shortcut way. So I had the clothes in there, and it's these new washers. They're upright, vertical, whatever, and they don't put as much water in there. I'm like, man, they're going around. Shoo, shoo, shoo. I'm like, is there enough water in there? That clothes needs more water. It doesn't seem like it's wet enough. You know, I'm like old school washing machine. And I was thinking, whoosh, whoosh. I'm like, that's like the word of God in your life. We begin to hide God's word in our heart. We begin to study God's word. We begin to meditate on word. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And what's it? It's washing those bad thoughts. You see, one thought can change your life, for good or for bad. Some of you, in your lifetime, people have sowed bad thoughts and have said bad things over your life, and you've accepted them. But you're not going to live like a monkey any longer. You're going to say, take your bananas, take your trinkets, take your toys. A new king has arrived. You know what I'm talking about? Mufasa may be dead, but Simba is still around. We will find him. We'll bring him back to his throne. The washing of the water by the word. Hey, how many of you? We're in church, let's be honest. How many of you, at least once a day, you brush your teeth? Please raise your hand. Some take the advice of their dentist 3 times a day. God bless you. You're great. Way to go. There are certain things we do every day. Brush our teeth. Don't raise your hand, but I mean, how many of you, like, at least once every 3 days, you take a shower or a bath, you know? I know there's this movement, like, they wait 3 weeks before they take one. If that's you, we love you. Find another church, please. I'm just saying. There's some things we do every day. When it comes to God's word, we need to make it a priority. I mean, like, people are checking their Facebook every 5 minutes these days, it seems like, you know, Twitter every 5 minutes. Like, you know, can you lay that down for a day? But God's word is different. And we don't do it religiously. We don't do it because the pastor said, yeah, I got to do it. No, we do it out of delight, not out of duty. We do it out of love. We do it because we want the washing of the water of the word to have its effect in our life. Because if we can think God's thoughts, and we can have new thinking, it'll change our life. Romans 12, and I'll end here. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for each and every one of you. Like every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we humbly come before You today and we say, now, Lord, what would the Holy Spirit have us do with this message? Lord, how are we in the area of renewing our mind? Are we just allowing all kinds of junk in the world to come into our minds and we're not, as the old saying goes, garbage in, garbage out? Or God, are we jealous with our thought life and with what we're putting into our mind and setting aside time for the renewing of our mind, not just for more information, but God, for transformation? And Lord, help us to practice self-restraint, that a good thing can become a bad thing, that an enjoyment can become an enslavement, that entertainment can become an enslavement. Help us to practice moderation by the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. And Lord, today we just pray that You would convince us, if we're not, to be fully persuaded that which we've committed to, You're able to keep against that day, as Paul said. That we are fully persuaded that, God, You are our source, our ultimate provider. Not our job, not our business, not the government, not a loved one, not a route. Ultimately, You. And You are our loving Heavenly Father. And if You take care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, You will take care of us. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're one prayer away of allowing the King of Glory to come into your heart and life and change you from the inside out. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So simply pray this prayer out loud with the rest of us. Say it with your own mouth. Mean it from your own heart. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive His love, His grace, His forgiveness, and His healing. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We love you guys. Have an awesome rest of the day.